so thank you for joining. But I guess we're expecting a few more people. So it's 4:02 now. I guess we'll wait for another couple minutes to join. I think I'm not sure. Dennis mentioned that he would join. I guess we'll wait for a couple minutes. See if he joins. If not, we'll get started. And we have plenty of room, so please feel free to sit at the table. And I do see my co-chair at the door, almost coming in. So. We have Dennis, so I guess we can get started. Do you have a presentation?
Excuse me, site operator, did you want me to start your recording?
Yes, please.
All right, thank you. One moment, please. Thank you for standing by. This is the operator, and I need to inform all participants that today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect your line at this time, and you may begin.
Thank you. So, welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining the JIG Joint CCNSO, GNSO, IDN Working Group meeting here in ICANN, Toronto. So, I guess we'll start off just everyone introducing briefly yourself and where you coming from, I guess, and get started. Is it okay if I ask Steve to get us started and go around the table?
Sure. Thank you, Edmund. I'm Steve Shen, ICANN staff.
Francisco Arias, ICANN staff.
Hamadi Ibrahim, the rest of the TLD.
I'm Minjong Park from .kr.
Hi, I'm Ivana Yarosh. I'm from .bl Mask.
It's on when it is red. Okay. My name is Mirjana Tasic. I'm coming from Serbian registry. We have two domains, .rs and .srb. Which one is IDN domain?
I'm Jonathan Shea from .hk in Hong Kong.
Andrei Kolesnikov, .ru.
Gabriela Shetek, CCNSO Secretariat.
Dennis Jennings, consultant project leader on the IDN variant ELD program. I'm from Ireland, and I apologize profusely for not finding the room in time and being late.
This is Jen Zhang from APTLD, also the co-chair from CCSO.
Edmund Chung, .Asia, and the co-chair of this working group from the GNSO side. And take this opportunity to invite everyone to use the table. We have plenty of room. And or as we go through, please introduce yourself as well.
I'm Peng from Affiliates Canada.
Joseph Yee, Affiliates Canada.
Chris Dillon from University College London.
Marc Marché, Virginie, Canadian.
Ricardo Pedraza from VeriSign.
Shashani, I'm connected with a new IDN application.
And do you want to just
name is Dwayne Perry. This is my colleague, Nina Klepsig. We're with the Corporation Service Company. We're currently assisting a number of our clients with IDN applications.
There we go. Name's Dietmar Linden. I'm from Validaeus Limited. We've got a few applications in place.
I'm Greg Maslin. I'm a research analyst at Tiger Global.
You want to just introduce yourself because you're the last one.
Sure.
Oops, thought it was on. I'm Chuck Gomes from VeriSign.
Thank you, everyone. So let's get started. And this is a work group meeting. So some of the things that we have been following through, but I do see a number of new faces. So I'll quickly talk about the background and then jump into the discussion. But that is if I find my mouse first. There you go. Okay, so just a quick background. The JIG is the joint working group between the CCNSO and GNSO. We talk about interests of common interests, topics of common interests between IDN CCTLDs and IDN GTLDs. We started since March of 2010. We had biweekly calls all the way through to Prague. Since Prague, we've been having monthly calls. The three issues of common interest that we identified were single-character IDN-TLDs, IDN-TLD variants, and universal acceptance of IDN-TLDs. We have been holding face-to-face meetings since Brussels, and here we are in Toronto. So in terms of the agenda, we will... there are three main items, one of which, the first one, good to have Dennis Jennings with us here, is having an update from the variant issues project, or I guess it's now called the IDN variant TLD projects, and we'll have an update there, and then I'm hoping to spend the bulk of the time to talk about our draft for the universal acceptance of IDN TLDs. Currently, there are four recommendations that have been proposed through the discussions we had, and would like to get the feedback from everyone on those. And then the third topic is kind of important as well. Wanted to talk a little bit about the next steps. Since Prague, Jane and I have been talking about this, and on our calls we've been talking about this as well. This particular group was formed as an ad hoc group back in 2010. We're seeing that all three items seems to require a sort of a longer-term implementation process. So we'd like to think about whether we would go back to the two councils and ask for a sort of extension or conversion into a somewhat of a standing group, because we're talking about a few years before this whole thing will be completed. So that's the third item that I have on the agenda. Anyone want to add or strike? If not, I'll jump right in. And so the next item is really an update from Dennis on my mouse keeps on the IDN variant projects. Thank you, Dennis, for joining us.
Thank you very much indeed for the invitation. I appreciate being here. I'm going to speak very briefly because you've other items on your agenda and because there is a public session on Thursday at 9:15 for an hour where this information will be gone through, and I really do hope that you'll come to that session on Thursday, listen to what's being said and ask questions and so on. If you go to the schedule, or as they say in this part of the world, schedule, for Thursday at 9:15, you'll see the agenda of that that session. And if you click on some of the background documents, you'll find there's an overview document there, which gives an overview of the program. We now call it a program, the IDN variant TLD program. So whoever has control of the mouse might do that, because that document is well worth a quick read. It gives you an overview of the whole program. The key to the program is what we call the label generation rules. These are the rules that define what code points are permitted and what are the rules between code points for that create individual variants, resulting in labels that may be blocked or may be allocatable. So that is essentially the key piece of technology that needs to be developed. This has never been done completely. It's been done in part for second level and for some of the CCTLDs, and in some cases for some of the new IDN GTLDs that are currently under evaluation. But for the root, there is only one root, and there needs to be a completely integrated LGR, label generation rules, that are unique and consistent and apply to every TLD, whether CCTLD or GTLD, that uses IDN code points, because there may be IDN variants. So that's the key concept to grasp and the key piece of technology that needs to be developed. Where we are now, so if you actually click on Program Overview Document, you'll pull up a PDF, and as I say, that's the document that's really well worth reading. Where we are now, there are three projects currently active. The first is to develop a tool that will manipulate the label generation rule set, and some work has been done on that, some work has been published. There's not much happening in that at the moment, but if you're interested, I don't actually have a pointer to that at the moment. And I don't think there's one in that overview document, actually. The second project is to define the procedure that will be used, or the process that will be used, to develop the LGR, the label generation rules. So before rushing in to try and do this, we have to work out how it's going to be done. And when we've agreed that procedure and the board has approved it, we'll then move into the next phase, which is actually populating the label generation rules, the repertoire and label generation rules for the root zone. And the third project is on user experience with active variants. And this is a project to try and identify what are the issues that need to be addressed by people who are managing TLD, variant TLDs, or creating software that will access TLDs or whatever. These are sort of guidelines and issues that will need to be addressed. The project leaders on the three projects are Kim Davies on Project 1, the Label Generation Ruleset Tool, Francisco Arias and Naila Saras on Project P2.1, that's the process or procedure, and Steve Xiang on the user experience project P6. The numbers of the projects may seem a bit strange, but they're a hangover from the original series of projects. We decided not to create confusion by changing the project numbers, and possibly we're creating confusion by not changing the project numbers anyway. So where are we? So where are we? Well, As I said, on Project One, there's a document that has been published looking for technical comment. On Project 2.1, the process or procedure, a document has been published for public comment. It's called the Procedure to Develop and Maintain the Label Generation Rules for IDNA Labels in the Root, and it's listed there on that as part of the background documentation for the session. If you click on that, you'll find the whole document. That document is the first draft. It's out for public comment. It's quite a tough technical document, tough document to read. The public comment period ends on Friday, midnight on Friday, but it's only the first draft. There will be a second draft coming out sometime in November, and that's the overview document. And the third project, Project 6, the User Experience Project, a document is currently in internal review. And I think, Steve, that is going to be published sometime next week for public comment. Excellent. In terms of the label generation rules process, what is envisaged is a two-stage type of process with two sets of panels, what we call in the document the primary panels and the secondary panels. And the primary panels are made up of experts from the language, script, writing system communities that use, say, Chinese or Arabic or a script and set of languages. And we're probably going to change the title from primary panel to something like LGR creation panel. Their role is to look at the code points that are used in their writing systems and to propose for their script and writing systems the part of the set of label generation rules that they would like to see in the root. This is passed to the secondary panel, which you'd probably call the integration panel, and they are experts, independent experts, contracted to ICANN, contracted because they need to have a contractual relationship so that there are rules about how they behave. And they have to be independent. And their role is to take these proposals for partial label generation rules and to integrate them, to add them in, to create the single set of rules for the root. And in that process, to discover whether it is safe to take what has been proposed, and if it is not considered safe by the expert panel or integration panel, to return it to the primary panel or creation panel for further consideration. So we'll see an iterative process there until the two panels have reached either deadlock, which we hope will never happen, are mutually satisfied agreement on what's necessary and what can be permitted. And that process is additive, and at some point the secondary panel or the integration panel will say, right, we have enough to get started, and that'll be passed over to ICANN for implementation. That doesn't stop the work, because there may be changes, but there will certainly be new panels, new communities of scripts that use scripts and languages, and they'll form panels and they'll make their proposals and so on. And we can see that will continue on for some time. The document outlines a number of considerations for this, and they should be read carefully. The important compromise that has to be made is that in an ideal world, it would be desirable to wait and do nothing until every code point and every rule had been created. But that is going to take a long, long time. So there is an element of first mover advantage here, where there is some overlap, and or maybe some overlap between the rules. But to be practical, we have to move forward, and we heard when we did the issues report, there's a lot of demand from those communities who consider themselves ready to move forward that this process moves as rapidly as possible. So there's a tension there. Just as there's going to be a tension between the primary panels who are making proposals and the integration panels who say, I'm sorry, but for security and stability reasons, that won't fly. You're going to have to reconsider. So there is a tension between, at a higher level, between those who want to move forward and the desire to be cautious and take our time and get everything right first. And we've tried to find that balance. The experts who have written the document have tried to find that balance, and that first draft is out for comment. I urge you to read it. It's not an easy read, but I urge you to read it because this is really, really important piece of work. Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis. I wonder if anyone has any questions first. Chuck, please.
Yeah, I just want to say, Dennis is right. It's not an easy read, but actually, the approach itself is not too hard to follow. When it gets into some of the linguistic and technical stuff, it's a little bit tougher. But to understand the approach, I found not too hard. And as you know, I'm not technical, so.
Thank you, Chuck. And I actually echo that. I would encourage people to take a look at it. I guess the next question for this group is to consider whether there are any next steps required on this particular issue at this particular time. I have been as an observer from this group to the various projects that are taking place. At this particular point, I guess I'd like to alert from the GNSO and the CCNSO members that down the road, currently they're probably we need to continue to observe what is being done, but down the road there are possibilities where policies need to be considered, whether they need to be updated or changed. We don't know at this point. We are talking about the two panels creating policies of what can get into the root and what cannot get into the root, and currently for the new GTLD process and the IDN CCTLD process, the language tables are being submitted from the applicant to the to ICANN. This process would change that a little bit, not entirely, because the language tables need to be there for second level registration as well. But the output of these two, this mechanism, would change somewhat the processes that are being used in terms of accepting IDN CCTLDs and IDN GTLDs. So just would like to alert to members of the GNSO and CCNSO that we should probably continue to keep an eye on it, and also I guess the question maybe back to Dennis and the group is the time frame and when we might. When you see issues that might have policy impact or implications, whether you see that whether you think there might be a mechanism for us to continue to do things or start things in parallel so that we can get to the end point sooner.
Thank you. Dennis here again. At this time, as you said, we don't think there are any new policy issues. We think that the existing policies, policy framework will work. One of the things that we've committed to do is from time to time to identify issues as they arise and to publish them. Say, here, we're not saying this is a policy issue, but it's an issue that may need to be considered. We're certainly not saying that whatever we identify, the list of things, have to go through a consensus policy, but we will be flagging things from time to time so that people who have an interest can look at those and can make their own decisions. At this point, we don't expect that there'll be new policy requirements beyond those that have been established for the new GTLD program. So we expect it will be done on a cost recovery basis, for example, pricing on a cost recovery basis. Exactly what that will be is an implementation issue that's, you know, it's not my responsibility, that's a staff thing. In terms of time scale, our goal is to try and get the ICANN board to approve the process for developing the LGR in Beijing so that we can kick off the actual building of the LGR at Beijing. That's our goal. You know, there's many a slip, but that's the time scale. And we see that the primary panels are creation panels from the linguistic and writing system communities will form, will work, will interact with the secondary or integration panel. And we see those coming on not all at once. There is a lot of effort involved to agree who should be on the panel, who should be represented, and so on. There's a lot of work for communities which haven't done much of this work so far. So we think there'll be, in the second quarter of next calendar next year, that's after Beijing, there'll be a bit of preparatory work, and then in the third quarter, that's July to August, September, that a number of panels will be up and working for, say, 3 to 6 to 9 months, and then go a bit dormant, and then other panels will come up maybe a couple of months later, and so on. But exactly how this is going to, what the timing is going to be, and how people are going to be prepared, and what difficulties there will arise as the primary or creation panels butt heads with the security integration people, we just don't know at this stage. It may turn out to be perfectly smooth, that everybody says, well, we're not going to be, at least in the first cycle, we're not going to be stupid. We're going to be very conservative, do things that we know that are safe, so they'll go quickly through the integration panel and worry about more edge cases or more difficult code points later on. I don't know what approach is going to be taken, so I don't know how long this is going to be, but I see a program of work for a number of years starting in June, July next year. All going well.
Thank you, Dennis. I think this is pretty much the extent we need to touch on this particular topic. I do want to, alert people to do think about. Pessimistic, but I'm not as convinced at this point that we would have no policy implications. There are technically driven policies and also administratively driven policies. So, and we all, I guess, from the GNSO side, we all know how this cost recovery concept could be interesting. And in this particular project, we are spanning both GTLDs and CCTLDs. So the cost recovery aspect of which would be certainly of interest to the GNSO side and possibly for the CCNSO side as well.
Could I just ask my colleagues whether they have anything to add, anything I missed out that you want particularly to flag in this session? Francisco?
Nothing to add, thank you.
Steve?
I just have a clarifying question.
Please.
When you put technical policy or human policy up...
I should have said administrative. The difference is whether technically something needs to be put in place, like a protocol kind of concept, the administrative would be, human side, which is like what is being said on the who is eventually between the two variants, or those type of things.
And that's because technically people aren't human, right?
Well, I guess the difference there is technical part is the might affect the security and stability, and the administrative part is.
One rule I think we can all agree on, Edmund: when in a hole, stop digging. It's an old fashioned rule that says,
Moving on. So I guess this particular topic, we'll keep updating the group, and at this point, I don't think we need to alert the SO, basically the two councils at this point, but at some later point, if that needs come to play, then we'll alert the members and Dennis.
I think it would be helpful if you kept the councils informed. This is quite a significant step, and I think it's desirable that the councils understand the process that we're proposing and the timeline we're proposing, so that there aren't unnecessary delays when people at some stage say, "Oh my goodness, I didn't know this was going on." That, you know.
Yep, understood, and that's precisely what we intend to do. Okay, so on the next topic. Moving on from the agenda is the universal acceptance of IDN TLDs. This is hoping to get some discussion, and mainly just as a background, we went through an initial report which was published early this year. That intent was to do a little bit of stock taking and to get some feedback from the community on the particular subject. For the initial report, we sort of identified a few areas that we might want to get feedback from, especially whether there are policy aspects. Number two, which organizations ICANN might want to work with, which areas to focus on, and you know how to prioritize our efforts. So we went out with the initial report, and then the comments came back. One of the important realization from the comments is that possibly, two things happened. One is the comments coming back. It seems like the issues are fairly broad that we're talking about, and a good number of them will not have a policy impact to it. So whether this group needs to continue to work on this issue is being considered, or not working on it is being considered. And the other thing that happened was that a staff team that focused on universal acceptance of TLDs was revived in a way because of the new GTLDs, and they have started to work on a number of the issues, and I know Francisco will give us an update on that. But before I go to Francisco, I did want to bring us to the four recommendations that, even though so summarizing from the initial report and the comments received, we are proposing, in the last few calls we talked about this, we're proposing a few recommendations and proposing sort of closing this with a final report from the group that really has a couple of recommendations for further work where the work would be with the staff team. And then the main recommendation would be that has policy impact is to propose a recommendation that IDN TLD operators themselves would support universal acceptance of IDN TLDs in their own systems. That means the name servers, the contact information, and those kind of things. I'll jump into each of them very quickly and come back for discussion. Recommendation A is really, to require IDN TLD operators themselves, IDN GTLDs and IDN CCTLDs, and their respective for GTLD, the accredited registrars as well, at least for the name servers, would accept other IDN TLDs and make sure their systems are in place. And for GTLDs, email addresses who is contacts should support universal acceptance. So this is recommendation A. Recommendation B is more, I guess, of a general statement, but I'd like to get into a discussion of how we go about doing it. Is to ask for some allocation of specific budget for this advocacy of universal acceptance. Right now, ICANN is doing a little bit of it. I'm not sure I see a lot of specific allocation on the budget and stuff, but I don't know whether this recommendation is doable or how useful it is as a recommendation. But it has implications on recommendation C and D. C is to in addition to what staff team has so far created, which are materials of general materials of universal acceptance. Recommendation C is that came from the earlier discussions of the group and also through the initial report, is specific checklists or guidelines for new IDN TLDs, whether they're GTLDs or CCTLDs, alerting them to some of the potential issues that they would face when they implement an IDN TLD. So this is, in addition, a recommendation for staff to work on it, or perhaps the question is who to work on it as well. And then recommendation D is a little bit broader, basically to direct efforts staff to do something beyond what is currently doing. But before we get into the discussion, this is where I'd like to see if Francisco can give us an update on the staff team work on this particular topic as well.
Sure thing. Thank you, Hatman. Hello, everyone. This is Francisco Arias. I work in the ETLD registry liaison team in the technical side. I have to confess that I'm a new member of the TLD acceptance project in ICANN, so apologies in advance if I don't have all the answers to your questions. As Edmund mentioned, we have a project in ICANN called the TLD Acceptance, and this is focused not only on IDN TLDs but also on ASCII TLDs, so both ASCII and IDNs in both GTLDs and CCTLDs, so it's all encompassed in this project. The goal of the project is to raise awareness about the diversity of the domains and work together with the different actors involved in the issue about the acceptability issues, for example, the lack of IDNA support in applications or the improper logic to check for domains. And know that I'm saying domains, not only the TLD, but of course most of the issues that we have seen are related to the TLDs, for example checking that the length of the TLDs, there is still software that check that the TLDs are three or less characters, or reliance on a hardcode list of TLDs which is not periodically updated. Those are the kind of issues that we have seen. Let me mention some of the recent activities that we have been doing on this project. First of all, we have been collecting input from various ICANN stakeholders, TLD registry operators, and end users on the issues that they've seen. Also, putting together recommendations on the issue and translating in various languages so they are available for many people. We have also identified possible organizations to work on improving the TLD verification libraries. What is this? Some years ago, we produced pilot or beta at the most code so people could use to check for TLDs. This will be in the way that would be the preferred way, which is checking the source of the data, the DNS, the root zone. So we are thinking on improving this set of libraries and make it available for anyone to use in an open source space. We have also been working on identifying the events that will be the most suitable to do outreach activities to get to the people that will need to change things in order for the issues to disappear. For example, the application developers, browser developers, all the applications. what else can I say here? We have a session on this project, or should I say in the issue, the TLD acceptance, this Wednesday from 10 to 11. We hope in this occasion to engage principally the new ETLDs or the applicants for new ETLDs. We would like to make them aware of the issues that they may encounter when they have their TLDs eventually delegated. So we have an ongoing relationship with them and work together to in the solution to the problems. The session is, of course, open to anyone, and you are more than welcome to be there. We will have presentations from and participation from several people from the both sides, the application, a browser vendor in this case, and new ETLDs, and I believe also current ETLDs and CCTLDs, excuse me. This is pretty much what I have for an update. If there are any questions, I'm happy to try to answer them.
Thank you, Francisco. So I guess the first of all, any questions to Francisco before we jump back to sort of the discussion of the recommendations? Because as I guess listening from Francisco and the understanding from the group is correct that a lot of the efforts are directed towards general outreach and awareness. I guess some of the recommendations here is much more focused on what we can do with the group here. Groups here. So, any questions for Francisco before? If not, I'll need to find my mouse back. There you go. Okay. Thank you, Francisco. Then, in that case, then I want to jump back and talk about the four recommendations that have been proposed. I guess one by one, and see and try to get some feedback on them. So, the recommendation A is to the idea. This is the only one that has really policy impact. Currently, there is no real requirement from ICANN to TLDs to accept, to embrace this type of thing. This is to explicitly say, of course, registries might already accept them, but this would be to explicitly require. And for GTLDs, that would probably implicate the accredited registrars as well. And for CCTLDs, that would be much, much less, and it would really be almost just talking about the name servers that are accepted for registrations. And for GTLDs, it would implicate the Whois sort of email addresses that are collected as well to allow to make sure that universal acceptance of IDN TLDs is accepted there. This is a recommendation that would go back to the two councils for consideration. Any thoughts? I see Bart.
I try to understand how this, say, procedure would work. There are two issues, I think. Say, if the JIG would send this would be, if I understand it correctly, this would be a advice to the respective councils to launch a PDP to implement this as a requirement.
So potentially it would be a PDP, or if the councils believe it does not have policy development implication but policy implementation implication, that might be a different case.
What is the distinction? Because I don't understand that distinction, say, wearing my CC hat.
Okay, so I guess for the G side, I guess we can also, in the process of finalizing this report, take a look at the new GTLD recommendations and see whether this violates any of that. If it doesn't violate and it improves on certain of the security, you know, stability parts, then I would say this could be passed immediately to staff for, you know, adjustment of the process, you know, implementation part. For the CCN and SO side, I guess that is also the case. If we look at the fast track policy document, which is the IDNC report, I guess, if it doesn't violate, which I would doubt it would violate, then we can throw it directly into implementation. Since the, I would guess, but I you know, of course, you can.
Because there is, say, I know a bit about how the CC policy stuff works. Say this, you have two issues here from a CC side. One is that, say, this would go beyond ICANN's remit to deal with CCTLDs. It's you ask IDN CCTLDs to do something which is beyond the policy scope of what is, say, in the relation between ICANN and the CCTLDs. Say, what could work, but that's just an advice, to do this as best practice and develop a kind of best practice for IDN CCTLDs. But that's a complete different type of recommendation than saying this should be a requirement. Because if you do it in the format of a requirement, you almost... And that checking needs to be done with regard to the new GTLDs or to the GTLDs, but for the CCTLDs, a requirement would go into policy, and that's out of scope.
Thank you, Bart. I guess the question then is, for example, the IDN CCTLD fast track process currently requires a language table. It requires a certain element, certain number of elements to be in place, and certain technical requirements for the thing to be done as well. And you think that would not cover this part, and therefore we would need a PDP. That's the idea, right? Or
no? It's if you suggest a PDP to do this, it will be considered out of scope. That's the issue.
So let me try to understand this a little bit. Is that, you know, currently the IDN Fast Track, or in the future the IDN CC PDP anyway, would have a number of requirements that the IDN CCTLD will need to meet, correct? Right. So, and this, conceptually, this could be one of them. Or why? I guess the question is where does it? Perhaps I'll let Alex.
Yeah, Andre, listening here. Current fast track implementation requirements, based on including requirements as requirements based on RFC compliance to the certain standards, basically, because you cannot launch the IDN without complying to the IDN RFC, IDN requirements in coding and tables and things. So, in the technical part of it, it is a requirement, I believe, because you cannot run the TLD without the standard compliance. So. As a requirement to the standard compliant, if there is an option to, but it looks anyway, it looks strange for me because, like, requiring for ID and TLD operator to support universal acceptance, it is already there based on the common sense. I mean, I'm kind of like it's there. We're talking about the IDNs, so it's like I support the IDN as a registry, and I'm not complying to the universal acceptance. It sounds a little bit weird.
That is the case, though. But I'll let Chuck add to that.
Well, Chuck Gomes, I had another idea, and What about using the IDN guidelines? Now, the implications of those, I think, are different for CCs than they are for Gs. I'm not sure you know that. And I'll come back to the GNSO issue. Maybe I'll say it right now. With regard to the GNSO, I think, and I'll have to go back and look at this specifically, but I think if you want enforcement, Edmund, that you're going to need a PDP to make it a consensus policy. Otherwise, it becomes a best practice or something. So if you really want to have it to have some teeth, you probably need the PDP to do that. Now, my opinion, I'm usually wrong on these kind of things because I'm too optimistic. It should be an easy PDP, but I think to make it enforceable on the G side, you would need a PDP, unless you could get it into the IDN guidelines, and all of us as GTLD registries and registrars are required to follow the IDN guidelines. Now, the problem is if, you know, some of this doesn't just apply to IDNs, so it doesn't solve the problem on the ASCII side, and a lot of the strings on the ASCII side for new GTLDs will have the same problem.
So thank you, Chuck. And I do want to, in the initial report, I just want to alert people. In the initial report, we did identify both an RFC and an ICANN standard that speaks about this. So it is not it's not out of the technical realm to require make it a requirement technically. So there is RFC. I'm trying to pull it up. Because of the discussions back in 2000 when the first round was formed, there was a follow-up work by ICANN staff and then, you know, with in coordination with IETF as well. So there is an RFC. RFC 3696, which talks about this, and also another RFC that talks about the single authoritative route, you know, which implies some of this as well. So it's not completely outside of the realm. The other part is that I think, you know, a for the GNSO side, a PDP might be useful, and perhaps at that point we can add back, you know, the ASCII part of it, because today I'm pretty sure that not all registrars are compliant. I mean, they don't necessarily accept all the TLDs in the email address, for example, or name servers and those kind of things. So.
Isn't that the way? When I saw this, I checked the charter again. And if you look at the charter of the JIG itself, it's very clear there is an issue, and that's been identified. The next step is that the JIG would advise the councils a methodology to resolve it. And this could be either a PDP, but at least say this is an issue, why it is an issue in its resolution, and then say these are different methodologies and ranging from best practice to a PDP, because then you offer some options. And it's not to the JIG to, yeah, you could say this is a requirement, but I think you will have some people standing in the trenches to fight it, but at least offer them an option, and it's the choice of the councils to move forward.
Thank you, Bart, and I think that's great input, and certainly that's something that, you know, specifically I think what the JIG final report can say is, you know, to identify this as a recommendation that the councils look into it. We've identified this issues, and then in the later, because for the whole document there would be a more description on each particular recommendation, I guess, and that there we can talk about on the, I guess, on the GNSO side certain possibilities, on the CCNSO certain possibilities, and leave it at that. But this is, you know, identify this as one of the items.
And and that's another word of advice, is whether to use the word requirement is something else, because that comes with a range of baggage.
Okay. Please.
Sorry, I'm not a member of this JIG, but I may misunderstand the scope of this working group, but some of the items here are not only for the IDN TLD operators. ASCII TLD operators should accept some name server host names in IDN form or the Whois email addresses. So it's the first line, the requirement for IDN TLD. Can it be IDN ASCII, or we are focusing on just IDN TLD?
Thank you, Hota. I guess for this particular group, we were chartered and formed to look into the issues of IDN gTLDs and ccTLDs specifically. So anything outside of IDN gTLD and ccTLD would be out of scope. However, it doesn't bar us from, in the description of our recommendations, to say that this have implications for ASCII TLDs as well, and perhaps it's a good practice to take a look at when the councils consider this matter to consider both IDN and ASCII TLDs. Okay, so it seems like we've exhausted this particular recommendation. I'll move to the next one. We have a couple minutes left. See how much we can do. But Chuck.
Thanks, Edmund. Go to B. I thought you were already going to B. The budget one. There we go. Okay. I wanted to alert those that don't know that the budget process is probably going to change this year significantly, and so I'm just alerting you, if you don't already know, that they're going to try and get more details, at least in terms of projects, to the community in the fall, you know, between now and the end of the year. And so that's going to be, that's a lot earlier than we've had that kind of detail before. So what I'm suggesting, and I don't know whether it's people in this group or if it's going to be staff that'll make sure that it's in there or whatever, but be aware that you're going to need to make sure this gets into the budget a lot earlier than you have needed to in the past. Now, in this particular case, I think they'll probably be sending out to constituencies and stakeholder groups and SOs and so forth needs probably in the next month or so, if they're able to get that done that quickly. It's not going to be the revised process isn't going to be fully implemented right away, because it's dependent on a lot of things, but they're going to be working towards that goal. And so I'm just alerting you that make sure you watch for this and get it in really early in the process, because as most of you know, the reason for some of the changes, and they're not totally approved, but I think they're pretty well to be expected, is that we get the detail in the past in May, and you comment, if something's not there, it's almost, by the time they respond and everything, it's too late to get any changes. So they're trying to move it all up a lot earlier so that there is time for good input and response to the input and so forth. So just be aware that this is one that in the next couple months you need to be aware of and make sure that it gets in.
Thank you, Chuck. By the time we finalize the document, probably it's beyond that time frame. But what initially I was thinking it would be that, you know, probably the next iteration. But that's good idea. Perhaps this in our next call, we should identify this and see if we want to express this to the two councils earlier and have them identify this, you know, at least flag it to more formally. But I guess staff that is around this is also already know this. So, Steve.
Thank you, Edmund. Just a clarifying question. So this recommendation is requesting ICANN to allocate specific budget, right? It's not, it's asking ICANN to provide budget, right?
Correct.
Okay, all right.
Sorry, I missed the most important word, which is ICANN.
It wasn't sure. It could be, you know, asking TLD, IDN TLD also to provide some fund. So, okay, that's that clarification is good. Then in that case, this report needs to be finalized and, you know, go through the appropriate process. And when it comes for ICANN implementation, you know, that's where the budgeting comes. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Stephen. That's why I said, you know, that by the time, there will be the next iteration that we're talking about. So
if you look at it, say, at the end of the day, both the GNSO and the CCNSO Council have to submit that request because that's the way the process is run. So that sets the time frame, et cetera, as well.
Right. So by the time we finish this, it goes to two councils. The two councils consider the report. After they consider the report, they would consider, you know, acting on the report for further stuff, and that's when this will eventually get there. But that doesn't stop us from, you know, telling staff about this, but it's just not formal yet, right? So... So I guess we are over at the top of the hour now, and we ran out of time. But I did want to generally just point out in terms of the next steps for this particular document, my personal hope is that in the next few months, because we're having monthly calls now, so in the next few months to complete it by January of next year. And to put it out for public comments by then, and through Beijing, and to have a wider and try to have a public session in Beijing. We did have a pretty successful public session for single character IDN TLDs. It eventually was not fully adopted yet, but we would like to probably have a public session at the ICANN Beijing meeting to get really more feedback on the recommendations. We'll refine the recommendations from now till then. And that's sort of the plan. With that, we didn't really go through all the parts of the agenda, but anyway, whoever is not already on the mailing list and would like to be, just talk to myself or Jane here. And we're at this point, and after the extension from the two councils, we are more than welcoming additional observers, whoever is interested to be on the list. So, Jane, do you have anything to add before we close? If not, then thank you, everyone, for your time.